Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite show. It's the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppy Ahead Productions. I'm your host, Sean, co-host, Daniel. Sometimes I just feel like I forget the name of the show. Like, there's like a mini panic attack when it's like, you're listening to the... It's like awkward pause. It's like, booting.
Or like you hear like the frantic rustling of papers. That's it. I found it. Okay, good.
It's like the SpongeBob show. He's all running around. What's my name? They're like checking files and everything. Just throw it. It's in his brain.
Exactly.
That's how I feel.
And the magic of editing, it sounds smooth and flawless. which is, I guess, the benefit of being the one that does the editing, because then you can just cut out all of your mistakes and leave the other jerks in.
Pretty much.
And by the other jerk, I mean me.
Exactly. Danny, we got to press the big F today, man.
I know, man. Number 8/24, Kobe Bryant.
It's gone. Helicopter crash. If you didn't know, I'm sure you know, though, by the time this gets posted.
Yes.
No, just a crazy, tragic event. Helicopters always seem to be crashing. It's only in California and Florida, I feel like.
Well, like, when Kobe was actually still playing with the Lakers, like, one of the things that he did, instead of driving to and from Laker games, is he would, like, get in his helicopter and be helicoptered to the Staples Center.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'd just rather, like, fly than deal with L.A. traffic, which, you know, I'm pretty sure that's everybody in L.A. wishes they could do.
Yeah. I mean, where did he land? On top of the Staples Center? Or, like, did they build, like, a helicopter pad somewhere?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of the high-rises, so if it wasn't actually at Staples Center, it was Staples Center adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen enough, you know, James Bond movies or whatever, you know, even Captain America, to know that really tall buildings have helipads on top so that sexy Steve Rogers can show his beautiful biceps as he's trying to stop a helicopter from taking off with Bucky Barnes on board.
You will not go anywhere.
And you can just see the sweat and the veins on his arm.
Mm-hmm.
So hot. But anyways, Kobe Bryant. I'm sorry, I got confused. I got lost for a second there in Steve Rogers' muscles. Hashtag some homo. I'm not going to lie.
It's okay. You're forgiven. You are forgiven, sir. Dear
child. I mean, I guess if anybody's going to turn anyone, it's Chris Evans.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Did you see, somebody posted a meme and it was like a still from Civil War at the end when Bucky and Steve Rogers were fighting Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, I can't believe Marvel would have two, you know, like super-powered individuals beating up an orphan, and one of the guys is even the one that killed his parents.
That's actually kind of funny that when you put it in that perspective.
Yes, two super-powered individuals bullying an orphan.
Terrible news.
But yeah, but going back, we keep you know, in our the spirit of our lives and show. But yeah, so it's just weird. All these rumors and stuff are flying around about Kobe Bryant and the helicopter incident.
Yeah, it's like who's on the plane, who's not on the plane. It's like there's updates like, every 15 minutes.
Or less, yeah. Like, originally it was, like, just Kobe and some other people. Now it might be Kobe and one of his daughters, and maybe Rick Fox and his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been on board as well, so I don't know. News keeps breaking. And a lot of people I saw on Facebook were like, wait, is this real or is this a hoax? Because there's just been so many celebrity death hoaxes over the years.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not a hoax.
No, not this time. Not this time. Everybody.
Moment of silence.
Moment.
And if you've seen the movie Hudsucker Proxy, it's an old Tim Burton movie, which is actually, not Tim Burton, Tim Robbins, the guy from like Shawshank Redemption. It's like one of his first movies, but there's a scene where like the CEO of the company jumps off out of the window of the top floor of the building, basically. And then they have a moment of silence, and then they dock it from the employee's pay.
Terrible. That's jacked up.
It is, but it was a funny movie, The Hudsucker Proxy. You know, for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Is a line they utter a lot in that movie. So, Sean, I heard you pop the top.
I was getting my toast beer ready for the break after the moment.
As we lift our beers, cheers, Kobe. Clink.
Who else out there is always going to be named after throwing paper at a trash can?
Right. And for the old people that don't know, yeet is for distance, Kobe is for accuracy.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. So, from Two Roads Brewing, which I've had before, this is the Clementine Gose. So, I've had their Persian Lime Gose, which was very fantastic. This is the Clementine. It's very salty. Good sour to it. I don't know, like, how orangey the Clementine is supposed to be, since I don't regularly eat Clementine, and I haven't had one in a long time. So, like, you get some kind of citrus notes on it, but I think the beer is pretty good. It's not the best Gose I've ever had, though.
Right. I don't think, like, Clementines are, like, citrusy, but they're not very, like you said, orangey, because they're not an orange. They're like a weird hybrid
mm-hmm.
that Huckleberry Hound, the old cartoon character, like to sing about.
Exactly. This is a brewery I do want to go check out because they have a giant like milk truck and they do giant like kettle sours out of it. It's literally like the truck is like in the ground, like in the front yard of the brewery, so you could like see it as you're going down the road.
Nice.
So.
And that's in Jersey or in Philadelphia?
No, it is not. It is in Connecticut.
Ooh, that's right. You live in like a weird place where like you can like just drive for like 40 minutes and you're in a different state.
Yeah, when I drove through like three different states just trying to get to another building, and it was like in a less than 100 miles span. I was like through Maryland, West Virginia, and in Virginia. I was like, how did this happen?
Right.
But if you look, there's like this weird like tip in Maryland that goes like into West Virginia. It's a very weird, like, I feel like nobody knows how to draw lines even back in the day.
Right. So maybe like our founding fathers just really liked dick jokes and they just wanted to give just the tip to West Virginia.
They're probably
the whole thing? No, just the tip.
Exactly, just the tip. That's what I learned at a team building event. Only the tip matters.
Yeah, exactly. Whether it's when you're distributing steaks or...
throwing axes.
Throwing axes or paying bills at a restaurant.
Oh, man. So what are you drinking, man?
Or if you forgot a condom. Just the tip, right?
Just the tip.
So I'm drinking a collaboration beer called Hollywood Acid. It's by Brewery West and Hop Culture. It's a hazy IPA. And it's got malted barley, raw spelt, raw oats, and citra. And then it's got a bunch of different hops, New Zealand hops and the Bruce, different, I guess, patented hops. But then the art on the can is really cool, and it's done by his artist name is Killer Acid. That's one of the things I really like about Brewery West is the art on their cans. Like, it's just stickers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they painted on the sticker, and then they just kind of placed it on the can, but then you can see the background of the can through some of the spots. Like, it's incorporated into the art, the silver of the can.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really, like, hazy, juicy, like, brunch beer. Like, this is something if you saw at somebody's table at brunch, you'd be like, why does their orange juice have like foam on top? That's weird.
Jeez. Interesting.
Like, it's not even like opaque like some hazies. It's like full murky. And it's probably more solid of a color than your Gosa for sure.
It's swamp water.
Dude, it is. Like, I've seen orange juice look clearer than this. But at the same time, it's actually quite delicious.
Really?
It's got just the hoppy taste where it passes as an IPA.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have that hop burn that some of them get.
Mm.
And then, you know, because like it's like it was a new style and a couple breweries that like I guess started making the hazy IPAs didn't want to share because they're selfish jerks.
They are big jerks.
So there was a lot of trial and error on the original, like for a lot of breweries on making their IPAs, but wow, see, it's just that good. But Brewery West is one that's definitely definitely got the formula down right. But I actually picked this up yesterday at an event they did. They hosted a beach party at their brewery in San Pedro.
Beach party, beach party.
And so they had like a bunch of breweries there. One that I was really excited to try is Bissell Brothers out of Portland, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty funny because they're on one side of the aisle and literally across from them on the other side of the aisle was Great Notion from Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was talking to one of the guys from Bissell Brothers and I was like, so are you guys going to have some sort of competition to see who's going to get the most pours today? And see who's the better Portland? And I was like, and then at the end of the night, you can just like meet up in the middle, Michael Jackson Bad video style, just wearing leather jackets and snapping your fingers at each other. He thought it was a pretty good idea, but I don't know if he carried through. I don't know if there was any dance fighting.
He probably was like laughing and then he turned away and was like, fuck this guy, dude. Why do I have to do these events?
I
always got to just appease these people.
These fucking overweight white dudes with shaved heads and beards, like... Which, well, actually, you know, and speaking of, like, generic white dudes, there was at least two dudes there yesterday that I told you, and I'm like, that guy looks like Sean. The glasses, the beard, and everything, man. It was just like you see a movie and like someone breaks up with someone and they're like walking down and they start seeing the person's face in the clouds and wherever. It's like that, Sean. I see you everywhere, just in other generic white dudes.
It's all right, man. I miss you too. Don't worry.
Some homo. I mean, no homo. No homo. Wait. But yeah, there was a lot of breweries there. There was one. We ended up sitting at a table because Jody got the DD ticket. And she was kind of asking me probably, she's like, wait, don't I get something for being designated driver? Like some beer festivals give you like at least water and soda.
Yeah. They're like, nope.
And they're,
the water's actually, in the beer.
They did something even better. They gave her a free t-shirt.
Nice.
For the event.
Very nice.
Which she didn't like. So of course I got a free t-shirt.
She wanted water. She didn't need a t-shirt. How is she supposed to stay quenched with a t-shirt?
Yes. But they did have food that she really enjoyed. There was the Bissell Brothers, the family that owns them, the mm-hmm. Bissell family. They also own a restaurant called High Roller Lobster Company.
Mm.
So they brought out their wares, and they had lobster rolls and lobster grilled cheese and even like a lobster pop.
Mm.
And so she was pretty much appeased by the lobster roll. That's like but when we were sitting at the table, like I went to go get some beer and I came back and there was some people sitting at the table talking to her and stuff. And we were talking and stuff, and then I see a couple of the guys get up and they start walking over to one of the booths. And the girl that was there, she was like, oh, you should go check out their beer. And I was like, wait, they work at a brewery? And they're like, yeah, the guy in the hat, he's a brewer at the brewery at that place. And so I went over there, and it was Double Nickel.
Yep, Double Nickel. Just, I forget what city they're in, but they're basically almost right on the river on the Jersey side. They make some pretty good stuff. They made a really good stout that I really liked. I think I reviewed on the show. I think I brought one. They're the brewery that I brought that fancy bottle in a box.
That does sound right.
Yeah, it's that beer.
Okay. Because I couldn't remember if I had one of them with you, but the beer that they did was, they brought their Vienna, that I had from them was their Vienna Lager.
Mm-hmm. That's one of their base beers, yeah.
And then the other one I had, I want to say it was a stout. It was their Nocturnal Creatures.
I don't remember if that's on one of their base beers. They have like 6 base beers, and then like the rest of their stuff is like all sorts of crazy shit. They're very big on New England IPAs. That's like, it's almost like, it feels like 80 to 70% of their new releases that they do are New England IPAs.
Which is why they're there, because the event was supposed to be a New England IPA festival.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because I made it the whole day without trying one New England IPA. And I had too many beers. I ended up, I think it's my own fault. I don't know if it's my fault or a coincidence, but like I ended up waking up. I felt passed out on my couch after eating In-N-Out.
Oh, man, that sounds like so good right now.
I just had like a 3x3 animal style.
Fuck, I hate you so much. I haven't eaten all day for stupid gaming reasons.
That's your fault for being immature.
I'm like a step above the people peeing in a bottle right now. Like, I've had plenty of drinks and used the restroom in the appropriate places. Just decided not to really eat food, though.
You didn't bust out the poop bucket?
No, it's probably good that I'm drinking a 4.8% ABV beer right now. Just saying.
Instead of like a normal like higher.
Yeah, Imperial Stout at 10, 12%.
Right. You're like, I feel funny. I don't even know the percentage on this one. It's somewhere. That's one thing. Like, their art is cool, but it's also hard to find information.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, yeah, like, I woke up, like, at about 11, 11:30, and I just had the worst headache. And so I went and took some Excedrin and drank a bunch of water and went to go try to fall back to sleep. Wasn't happening. And so then I came downstairs, and next thing I know, like, I had to go to the bathroom. Went to the bathroom again. Then I was like, oh, wait, I think I have to throw up.
Oh, boy.
So for about the next hour and a half, 2 hours, I was just, like, going into the bathroom for various reasons, whether it's the top or the bottom. And then I finally passed out like at 2:30 and woke up at like 6.
You sound like some college frat boy.
Dude, I don't think it wasn't a hangover, because I woke up this morning feeling amazing. I had like residual effects a little bit. I could like kind of tell I had a really bad headache the night before, and like my stomach felt like I had been doing a bunch of sit-ups. Mm-hmm. You know, the effects of throwing up, but like I felt amazing. And so my wife's like, "You just drank too much." And I'm like, "No, I think I just didn't drink enough water. I think I had got a migraine, because they run in my family."
Fair enough.
And so, like, it was pretty miserable. Like she left. I went upstairs at one point, and she had left the. We have a nightlight in our bathroom, so we can kind of see around.
Mm-hmm.
And so she left that on, and I went upstairs, and it like hurt my head even more than life itself. So yeah, I think that. But then it's funny. You know, as I'm like recovering from that, I bought more tickets to go to another beer festival today.
Oh man.
So, but yeah, like, it was really cool. Like, there was like, I ended up going to a bunch of breweries that I'd never like heard of that are semi-local. They all kind of they had like the timed releases. I got a couple of them. I couldn't get them all that I wanted. There was one that it was like a brewery that did like, sours and, spontaneous ales, and they had like a carrot cake one that sounded kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They had like carrot juice and stuff, but that was like, so I tried 3 out of the 4 beers that they brought, and they were all really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I might be a little too old to have that much fun. I drank more beer there than I had at any other beer festival for a long time.
Problem. Fair enough, man.
If you go on my Untappd, or our Untappd, I guess technically officially, but I'm the one that runs it, the Sir Hoppy Head. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to check them all in yesterday because my phone was like dying.
Too many check-ins.
Yes. Well, and also like I would take pictures. Like I'd go get the beer, pour, and I'd take the picture of the sign in front so I could remember what the beer was. Instead of like trying to sit there and stand in front of the line and go to Untappd and check it in. I'm not that much of a monster.
No, it's good. I'm glad. You're a grown man now.
But they also, at the brewery festival, they had a DJ playing really good music. And I guess he's like an art director at a different brewery. Oh, at Hoof Hearted Brewing.
At which one?
Hoof Hearted.
Oh, nice. I remember. We talked about them before.
They're in Ohio, I believe.
Fair enough.
And so, like, I don't know. Like, between them and Belting Beaver, they're, like, you know, two of the classiest named breweries. Because it's two words, HOOFHARTED. But if you say it out loud, just like this, Sean, knock, knock.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Who's there?
Thank you. Yoda lady.
Yoda lady who? I kind of knew, like, as soon as you said that, like, I had to get, like, instantly put in, like, the accent for it.
Right? It's such a simple yet entertaining joke for all involved.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. But you know what's not entertaining for all involved, Sean?
What?
A Southern California landmark, or at least a landmark in my life, is closing down.
Oh, no. What's going on in Southern California?
So, Molson Coors has decided to close the Miller Brewing Plant that was right there in Irwindale off the 210.
Dude, that's like the place where you know you're getting close to Six Flags.
Right? And then I had a friend that you met. He was my best man. He lived in Van Nuys for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that was like a landmark. I would drive by there, and I'm like, okay, so I'm like about halfway there.
Halfway there. Oh! All on right, the way to your buddy's house.
In Van Nuys.
In Van Nuys. Keys in Van Nuys.
Exactly.
I just, you know what, the thing I miss about Southern California? The car sales have such beautiful jingles. Everywhere else I've been, no jingles. You know?
And then if you even flip around, you can go to the Spanish stations. Not only do they have the jingles, but then they also just have like random half-naked women like describing the car in Spanish. So it sounds super exotic and special.
Yeah, and then you got the good old, you won't get a lemon at the Toyota of Orange. I thought that was really clever. Nothing out here. Ohio, failure. Jersey, so far, failure. No good car jingles.
Well, I mean, when you have like one Ford dealership in like a 400-square-mile radius, you don't really have to like advertise.
True. Fair enough.
When you have, like, one Ford dealership every, like, 25 miles, you kind of have to work a little bit harder. It's like being a brewery. You have to do gimmicks like putting cars in the ground.
Yeah. My favorite thing is driving through Cherry Hill, and as I drive through there, it's like Range Rover, Porsche. I'm like, I live close to the rich people, I guess. Like, you don't even – you have to go out to, like, Orange County to find special dealerships.
Actually, no, because right, they expanded the Porsche dealership that I have to drive by every day, and then there's the Audi and BMW and Mercedes.
Yeah, that is true. I think the reason why it's so big down there is because there's so many like car lots. It's like it just makes sense. There's so much traffic down there for cars. Right. You might as well put one in.
And that's where, and like the people from like San Bernardino and Moreno Valley have to drive to Riverside to get a nice car.
Yeah,
because they don't get the Porsche dealership.
Not in San Bernardino.
No, but so the Miller plant, they're supposed to like be closed. Their plan is to close it like in September and lay off 450 employees,
mm-hmm.
unless Pabst Blue Ribbon decides to buy it, and they have like 4-month window in which to decide.
So, are they pulling out because of sales or because they're building something else somewhere else?
I think they've already built things other places. Like, this is a small, like, this is their smallest facility.
Got you.
And it is because of sales, too. But, yeah, this facility doesn't necessarily, like, make enough money to justify keeping open, apparently.
Those damn millennials not drinking Miller Lite.
Right. And so, actually, I don't even think they brew Miller Lite there. I think it's, like, Miller Genuine Draft. It was, like, they're, like, non-Miller Lite. So it was like Miller Genuine Draft and a couple other things that they own that aren't Miller brands, but under their Molson Coors umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget I heard the number that they did, and it's like astronomical for mm-hmm. like a craft brewery, but like nothing compared to like, you know, a macro.
Yeah.
It's more than like Sam Adams makes, but less than like, the Coors plant in Golden, Colorado makes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So it'll just be interesting to see if next time you drive to like somebody drives to, you know, Six Flags, whether it's just an abandoned building or it has the PBR labels painted on all the tanks outside instead of Miller.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So there's a new internet thing going around, Sean, and I had seen it, but I didn't know where it came from or who started it. Mm-hmm. And apparently Dolly Parton, of all people, started the latest internet trend.
Oh, no. I haven't seen it, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm sure you have. It's that one where they have the four pictures, and it's like Facebook, Instagram, some other like social media, and then they're like they're dating like Tinder or whatever.
Oh, okay. I have seen like one or two on Reddit.
Yes. So apparently Dolly Parton started that.
Oh, boy.
And so Eminem decided to do his version of the Dolly Parton challenge, being Eminem, decided to like make a joke out of it. Mm-hmm. That got a bunch of people like all riled up and their feathers all ruffled and their jimmies all rustled.
Jesus.
So he, and yes, all combined. So he did the one where it was typical like Facebook, Instagram. I can't remember what the other one was, but then for his dating app, it was Grindr, which is the gay Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, wait, aren't you super homophobic?
No, he didn't. He did a show with that guy.
Elton John.
He.
Right. But people still like, because of his lyrics and stuff, to say, and it's like, dude, there's like the dude that raps. There's the dude that like lives his life. And then like, there's the persona of Eminem, the rapper. And I guess in his persona, he does probably say some homophobic stuff, but that's not because he agrees with it, but because it's mm-hmm. the person that he's made for himself, his stage presence.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone did a article, because like last week or the week before, he released a surprise album, which in this day and age has been impossible with all the leaks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to talk about how like the new Eminem album is horrible. And it's like, it sounds, everyone was like, yeah, exactly like every single one of his previous albums.
Gotcha. Is this the one where it's Instagram with him in the Santa outfit?
I believe so. And then at the end, it's like Grindr.
It's Grindr.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's the one.
This is supposed to be apparently homophobic.
Well, no, because he's made his rap lyrics and stuff has like been homophobic. And so it's like, basically it's like, they just see it as him making fun of gay people again.
I have no idea.
Because he's not gay. He's not gay. But he still made it Grindr thing.
Got you.
Again, it's like,
I mean, isn't like the whole point of it, if like when you go to these like, you know, places, it's like, I'm just looking for other singles to fuck. Like, aren't you supposed to put like, hey, if you come over for sexy times, like this is what you're getting. It's like window shopping, right?
Pretty much, but they're saying that because
am I too old for this shit now?
Well, no. But the argument is because he's a heterosexual male that his dating app one should have been Tinder instead of Grindr, because he's just, they view it as him making fun of gay people yet again or still.
Fair enough.
Which I don't see him making fun of gay people. I just see him making fun of himself. Yeah. Or just making a joke in general. But that's not allowed.
Oh, no, you can't have a good time anymore. That's what I've learned today.
No, you can't. Speaking of whether or not you had a good time, Sean, you watched the whole show of the anime that I mentioned last week, Fuka.
I did watch Fuka.
Which is fun to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you Fuka!
Oh, man. So, I didn't. It's not a harem, Danny. It's not a harem. Even though it's like, it feels like it's gonna be, it's really not. It's really a triangle love story between three people and the main character. Basically, you know, it's got new girl, it's got like girl from the childhood past, you know, they're making music. I really thought the music was really catchy in the anime. I don't know how far you've made it, but
like, I'd wanted to be finished, and I ended up like passing out like halfway through one of the episodes on Friday, and I was gonna watch like a couple.
But then you got drunk.
I have two episodes left. I'm two from la, 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 la. Exactly. So I only have two episodes left, so I'm not that far behind.
I thought like all the music though so far, even the original songs that you're going to be coming through, I thought were really catchy and fun to listen to. So that was cool. I really liked how there was a conclusion and it wasn't just kind of left open. You know, with harems, you typically get like some kind of bullshit left open story. So I thought that was annoying. It really felt that, you know, our, I don't know, friend, I wouldn't say friend of the show, said it was
He's barely friend of your Destiny clan.
That bastard. Gecko, you're a bastard if you're listening to this.
Which you know not.
Yeah, exactly. He said it got boring, but I felt like there was so much... It was so much of a roller coaster. Like, you had to peek out. Like, you can't just constantly... like go down in like a roller coaster ride. Like you got to come back up. You got to level out a little bit. And I'm sure that you've seen it, Danny, where it was like, yeah, there was a pause in the middle, but shit got is getting crazy again.
Well, it was very much like, for a lack of a better like thing, I guess it was like believable the way like everything was handled. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's points where like the main character, like, I'm like, why is she acting like this? And I'm like, oh, wait, that's right. She's a kid in high school.
Yeah.
I have to keep, like, there's been a couple points where it's like, why is she? Oh, that's right. She's just a kid in high school. Like, mm-hmm. Or like the main character is like, that's right. He's just a kid in high school. Like, they're not going to, even adults don't always handle like social situations or pressure the right way. Why would you expect a high school kid to, right?
True.
And you know, like, they didn't have the fan service episode, but they do have, like, I guess, fan service moments where they like to show the main girl, Fuka, mm-hmm. the namesake of the show. She likes to do a lot of her thinking in the bathtub, apparently.
True. And there's a couple, like, panty shots.
And there, yeah, but there was, well, I mean, but that was like to almost fit in with the like beginning where she thought he was just some like creepy pervert that just wanted to look at her panties. So
true. Yeah, it felt like a lot more normal, like, show, more than, like, some crazy fan service roller coaster.
Right, but my favorite thing is, like, in one of the episodes, later episodes, she's, like, in the bathroom, gets a phone call, and she gets up, and, like, the steam just magically, like, rises with her as she gets out of the bathtub, like, circling her naughty bits.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, that's magical steam. Like, it's literally, like, a halo around her body.
Right.
But yeah, like they do have like the on iTunes at least, I'm sure, and I'm sure you can find it anywhere else. But they do have the soundtrack, and there's a lot of songs, not just the like the segue songs or the background mm-hmm. music. They actually have like the full recordings of the Climber's High and the original song. And
yeah, Climber's High was pretty good. Was really good.
I liked the song, and then I realized they were going to play it at least once, if not twice, in every episode. Which, I was like, oh, okay, like, that's cool, like. I like this. Do I still like the song? I don't know. Like, I've heard it a lot.
Fair enough.
But the bass line, like, and it's really cool, too, because, like, it seems to be a very realistic showing of behind the scenes for bands as well.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like their interactions, like recording and being on time, you know, band members being on time or getting along with other members.
Mm-hmm.
Between both bands, the one with the high school kids and then the ones they idol, the Hedgehogs.
Yeah.
Which, that's just a fun band name.
Yeah, the Hedgehogs.
So the episode I got was when more people from that band showed up.
Got you.
Watched, where she broke the news
mm-hmm.
to the band after their first live performance.
Oh, got you. Yeah, it's a pretty... I'm surprised you stopped watching and didn't finish.
It's more about time. Like, I finished... like, right as I was finishing that up, my wife came home and had food for me to eat. And then it was after that we were going to have to record. So it was more about time than desire of finishing the show.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough.
So, I know you, like, watched a bunch of anime, and we talked about that last week. But, well, we were on hiatus. I watched a bunch of movies.
Mm-hmm. What'd you watch?
One of them is a Netflix original movie called Highwaymen.
Mm-hmm.
With Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson as the stars. And it also has Kathy Bates, even though she's not in it enough.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it's the story of these two guys that were former Texas Rangers, like, and then this the Kathy Bates plays the governor of Texas that kind of disbanded the Texas Rangers because they were started getting a little like above, they felt they were above the law and handle it their own way. And so, but they were trying to capture Bonnie and Clyde. And so one of the guys suggested reinstating these two guys. And she was kind of like, well, I'm not going to let these guys that I disbanded, you know, catch them before the police group force that I put together catches them. Like, that, I'm going to look bad. And so basically it's just a behind the scenes story. The thing I really like about it is, the scenes where Bonnie and Clyde do show up, like, you don't see their faces until near the end. Mm-hmm. And you only, like, see them through either eyewitness testimony that is given to the two guys or what they've seen themselves. So there's no, like, it doesn't veer off into Bonnie and Clyde movie territory. It's definitely supposed to be about the guys chasing them.
Gotcha.
And people were, like, reading the reviews on stuff. People were saying it was kind of slow and boring, and it wasn't the fastest-paced movie, but if you like Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson separate, like, their interactions together are really good. The movie just made them showed their like peak acting skills. There's a lot of just camaraderie between the two of them and different people in the movie. I don't know, man. I really enjoyed it. Especially if you're into like the Bonnie and Clyde story and you just want to see like the different views, the different stories from that, the people involved. But it's like I said, it's a Netflix original, so you got to only watch it through the Netflix streaming service.
Damn that Netflix.
Right. And then the next one I watched was the newest Rambo movie, Rambo Last Blood. Which, like, the movie, it's kind of slow setting up him and, like, showing him, like, his new life of, like, swearing off violence and, like, living with this, like, girl that he's raising that's not necessarily his daughter, but raising her like a daughter. And his housekeeper, whatever, that's helping and stuff. And I think it's his sister's kid. Yeah, so it's his niece. That's right. It's his sister's kid. And so she finds out where her dad is, and she's in Mexico, and so she's going to go down there, and she ends up getting taken to be, like, sex trafficked. And then he goes down there to rescue her, and, like, when he gets back, like, basically they find out where he lives. Well, they had found out because they took his ID, and so they were going to come back and get revenge on him. And that's when it sets up what you see in the trailers, where it's basically Rambo Home Alone.
Gotcha.
Setting all the traps and stuff. So, I mean, it's an entertaining movie. It's Rambo. I don't know what else you could add to it necessarily, right?
Yeah, people are getting, you know, you come in there to watch people get murdered painfully in a lot of it.
Yes. And it definitely, like you said with Fuka, it seemingly ends the series. Because it ends like the original Incredible Hulk Bruce TV show style, where he's like walking off into the sunset with sad music being played in the background.
Yeah.
So if you want closure on your Rambo life, this is the movie you need to watch. And then another one I watched is the Dora the Explorer movie.
Hey, Dora.
This movie was surprisingly good.
Really?
Yes. They made it, like, campy, but not over the top. And so, like, it starts off with her, you know, being with her parents in the jungle, and they send her to the city to live with her cousin. And so it's, like, fish out of water stuff. But they just make her, because she's, like, told to just be herself, and it's weird. And so she gets made fun of, and she ends up back in the jungle, and, there's actually one scene where they revert to the original the cartoon animation, because they end up like getting drugged. So that's pretty funny. Michael Pena, and it plays her dad. He's not in it enough.
Oh, sadness.
I mean, he's in it, but like, I don't know. Actually, I don't know if he's in it enough or perfect amount, because I guess too much of something like that can kind of get a little overboard, like Will Ferrell. If you're not a huge fan of Will Ferrell like me, Will Ferrell in small doses is the best.
That is true.
But then when sometimes you get like Step Brothers, and it's just like, wait, he's just doing the same bit over and over again, but with different scenes.
Was Swiper in it?
Do you want me to spoil the whole movie, Sean?
You might as well, because I'm not going to watch this movie.
You just need to watch it. But yes, Swiper is in the movie.
Is it like a some weird like 3D dimension of it that makes no sense?
No, like it's weird. Like he's like in it at the beginning, but then it's like just like fantasy, and then he shows up in the like, and he's kind of working with the bad guys, and they don't really explain it. They think they even kind of like, wait, is that Fox like taking like they're like question it, and they just kind of look at each other and just kind of like shrug their shoulders, like I don't know. But I don't know, man. Like the actress they got to play her, like perfect. There's a scene, you know, like because she's like at the school dance and she starts dancing and stuff, and everyone's like making fun of her. So she comes home and her grandma, and she's like, grandma finds her in the closet and she's like sad because she's like, you know, when I was in the jungle and I was by myself, I didn't feel alone. But now that I'm in the city surrounded by people, I've never felt more alone. So, and then, you know, of course, then she ends up like on a field trip and gets separated with her like group of like her and like three, her cousin and like two other classmates. And then she gets to the jungle and she ends up saving the day. Oh, and there's Boots. Boots is in it. The whole movie.
Oh, really? Yes.
And like her monkey friend.
Yes.
And so and there's some funny stuff with Boots. Like there's a part where they're like trying to sneak up on the bad guys and they make a noise and they're like looking at each other like what to do. And Boots is almost like, wait, I have an idea. And he goes up and starts climbing around in a tree. And like, oh, it was just a stupid monkey. So he saved the day for them.
Fair enough.
But then I watched the DC animated movie Hush. Did you read the comic for Hush, Sean?
I did. I read volume 1 and 2.
Then don't watch the movie.
Okay.
It's here's the thing, like when they came out with the movie for World War Z, I was talking to a friend of mine and he was like, yeah, I mean, it's a good movie, but it's not World War Z. Like, I feel like we got cheated out of a movie because this movie could have been called something else and then they still could have made a World War Z movie.
Yeah.
Right? This movie was like mostly Hush, but they changed a lot.
Yeah.
Like in the beginning where one of the villains kidnaps a kid and Batman has to go save it. In the comic, it's Killer Croc. In the movie, it's Bane. And so they, like, feature Bane. And, like, Killer Croc isn't even in the movie.
Gotcha.
And then there's the part where Batman gets beaten up and someone finds him and takes him to Wayne Manor to be treated. In the comic, it's the Huntress.
Mm-hmm.
She's not in the movie at all.
Oh, boy.
It's Batwoman that finds him. Batgirl.
Okay.
So it's not even Batwoman, it's Batgirl. So it's just basically, like, the Bat family of... like consists of Batman, Batgirl, Nightwing, and Robin. And it's the Robin, the current Robin, where he's the son of him and Talia al Ghul.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's just a bunch of other stuff that they change, like I was like, wait, this doesn't seem right. Like I never read the comic, but I was familiar with it, like who the characters were and some of the beats. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, read the Wikipedia for the comic, and it was like this person does this, and it's like that person wasn't even in the movie. Like, and that person was supposed to be over here, and it's like, all right, I guess they didn't want to introduce new characters because I don't think Huntress has been in anything other than up until that point, other than like the Arrowverse. For a little bit, and then she's going to be ruined even more in the new Birds of Prey movie.
Oh, gotcha.
Which, have you seen a screenshot of her costume, Sean?
No, I have not seen it yet.
Dude, it's atrocious. And I'm so sad, because I like the actress they got to play her, because she's the one that was Ramona Flowers in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, okay. I don't know what to tell
basically
you.
Basically, she has these weird, like, baggy pants. And, like, this, like, kind of tight, like, armory top, but it's like it shows like her some of her stomach and skin in weird places, so it's not protective at all, really. Mm-hmm. But it's like, dude, just go with the new like 50 the new look that they have for her now, where she's got like a leather trench coat and like pants and like a mask, and it just looks badass. Like it looks like a like something that can definitely translate to real life a lot better than even her original costume, where she has like the pointy ear mask and, you know, booty shorts. And her midriff showing.
Yeah.
even though that's my favorite look of hers, because that was the one where I first like was introduced to her.
You know, dreams are meant to be broken, man.
Well, I guess like, in DC, it's like, well, this is why we're not going to put Huntresses in anything, because anytime we do, nobody likes it. It's like, because you're doing it wrong. So wrong.
Ugh, terrible.
And then, but then I watched the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie. I don't understand why this movie is getting all the praise it's getting.
I don't know, man.
Did you watch it?
I have not seen it yet.
It's trying too hard to be like a 1970s drama movie. Like, it's definitely like the guy's like, I want to make a Martin Scorsese movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I was told to make this movie about the Joker. And even like Joaquin Phoenix, like doing interviews and stuff, and he kept talking about how he wanted to make it like an art film and this and that. And it's like, that's cool, man. Make an art film and then make the Joker.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think, I don't know. I've heard mixed feelings about it. I mean, it makes sense, but I still have yet to see it, so I don't know. Like, I know it was, like, very dark, for sure.
Right, and I don't have a problem with that necessarily, but it's definitely slow-paced. It's very long. And I do agree that, like, all of the praise that Joaquin Phoenix is getting for his performance is earned.
Gotcha.
He did an excellent job. And like a lot throughout the movie, they set him up to be an unreliable narrator.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's things where it's like happening, and then it's like it goes back and you realize that it didn't happen the way it was shown the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's sometimes where they don't go back, and so you're like kind of left wondering, wait, did this really happen this way, or was that we just seeing things through his eyes?
Got you.
So
it is like kind of trippy.
Yes, and then there was a couple scenes where they definitely paid homage to Heath Ledger.
Oh, okay.
Because you know the scene where Heath Ledger's like driving in the police car, and he has his like window, like he's looking out the window, and you can see like all the stuff going on through like the reflection of the window while he's looking out.
Yeah.
They recreate that scene in the movie for sure.
Oh, nice! I've never heard that before.
And there's a couple other scenes that they recreate of Heath Ledger, like scene for scene of Heath Ledger from the movie.
Okay.
So it's kind of cool, but then at the same time though, it's like, should that be the part that I'm like most impressed by of a movie?
Probably not.
Robert De Niro plays pretty good. Like, he does like a talk show host. Basically, he's like the Gotham City's version of like Jay Leno. And then people are like trying to figure out the age difference, and it's like, dude, like don't try to figure that out, because they're, you know, well, originally we weren't gonna make another movie. Now they're making a sequel, but like the age difference between like him and Bruce Wayne, like by the time Bruce Wayne is like Batman age, mm-hmm. like Joaquin Phoenix is going to be like 60.
Jesus.
Or 50 or something, even like in his 50s or something, like just ridiculously old.
Yeah.
I would recommend at least watching it once, just so you can kind of know what everybody's talking about.
I just can't believe how they're going to do another movie. Like, does like Bruce ever show up in it, or is it going to be strictly like more Joker emo stuff?
Joker does, I mean, Bruce does show up a couple times.
Gotcha.
And they do have a scene where it may or may not explain, like show like Batman's origin, like, you know, the beginning of Batman, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, but like again, I don't know if it happened. It's like it's one of those where it's like you don't know if it happened that way or if that's just like what the movie wants you to think happened.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I almost fell asleep, but then I watched it after work, so I almost fall asleep during everything. So that's not really a good example.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it's about 2 hours long. It definitely feels like a 70s movie, the way the story's told and the shots and stuff. And that's like, I was talking to some people and they were saying like, but the movie was filmed beautifully. And it's like, that's cool. But like, I don't want to it's not a picture. Like I want to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can tell me this picture was like, oh, look at the framing of this picture and that. Then I'll be like, oh yeah, that's awesome. Because it's a picture. But yeah, Heath Ledger definitely deserves to win. He won the Golden Globe, and he's nominated for the Academy Award.
I don't think he could. I don't think Heath Ledger could win it.
I'm sorry, not Heath Ledger. Joaquin Phoenix. My bad. I'm still drinking my beer. Still drunk from yesterday.
Come on, yeah. Man. You need a nipple on that beer? Come on. Let's go.
Well, not still drinking. I'm almost done, actually. That's my point. I shouldn't say still. I said I have been drinking my beer.
Got you.
Fair but enough. Yeah, no. He deserves to win. Like, his performance is really good. They explain why he laughed. They have a medical explanation for his laughter in the movie.
Got you.
And that kind of plays into some of the scenes and stuff of him becoming him. A lot of people didn't like the movie because it's not very subtle and it's like political messages.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like a protest and stuff, and like people are holding signs like "Eat the Rich" and stuff. So people, like, you know, of course, you know, people were like complaining about that the SJWs are ruining movies. Because comics have never been political, ever.
Nope, it's just about bad guys getting beat up by the good guys.
It's like people complaining about how the new Picard series is stupid and ruined by SJWs. And it's like, that was the whole point of the original Star Trek series. Like everybody's the same. Like, there was no, like, women in power and no racism. I mean, Captain Kirk slept with, like, blue chicks and green chicks. So, what are you talking about? Like, Star Trek has been, like, the most SJW show ever, even going back to, like, the 60s.
Or maybe Captain Kirk is just a whore.
I mean, both are true statements. Star Trek is, like, the poster show for SJWs going back to the 60s, and Captain Kirk will stick his penis in anything that will allow it.
True that.
And then, finally, Sean, I know you didn't watch it, and we can't wait any longer.
True. I almost watched it today, but then I finished, I decided to play, and for next week I do have a new game review, so.
Yes.
I was doing homework.
You're doing homework, yeah. So, yeah, we both have a game to talk about for next week.
But Star Wars. Da-da-da.
Just, you know, before I necessarily get into the movie, I just kind of want to cover, like, some of the funny complaints about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the complaints is that the movie isn't necessarily, like, cohesive because they had different directors.
Oh, really?
Which is funny because the original trilogy also didn't have the same directors for any of the movies.
I thought What's-His-Name just directed it all. I guess he must have just, produced it?
Yes, George Lucas only directed... I think he for sure only directed episode one. Like, the trilogies, the prequels, I think he might have only did one, if not two, one and two or something like that. But he didn't do all the... Basically, the one that he directed is the worst one of them all until the people, for whatever reason, decided that that movie is way better than they remember it being, and that the new movies, the sequels, are worse than episode number one.
Yeah.
It's like, to the point where, like... Some guy came out with, like, the preferred order of watching Star Wars. And the way he did it was you watch episode... This was back when we just had the first six. So it was like you watch episode 4 and 5. And then you get the big reveal at the end of 5. And then you go and watch episodes 2 and 3. So it's, like, told, like, as a flashback.
Yeah.
And then you watch episode 6. Like, you don't even watch episode 1. Like, he just said you don't need to watch episode 1. Like, it's redundant and boring.
I mean, there is really no point to it, except where they found Anakin.
Yeah. And so, you know, people, like, keep talking about, like, one of the things... I'm going to spoil one thing in this movie, Sean, for you.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So, you might have seen memes about it on Reddit anyways. But, you know, every movie they kind of show, or even video game, they show, like, some new sort of thing that the Force can do.
Yeah.
And in this movie, the new thing is Force healing.
Really?
Yes.
Force heal!
And so, there's a lot of memes where it's like, from like Padme, and it's like, oh no, she's gonna die, like the nurse or whatever, and Obi-Wan's like, no, it's okay, I'll use the Force to heal her. And then, like, other times, like, it's like, no, I'll just use the Force. And it's like, come on, man. You act like even 4, 5, and 6 had a ton of flaws. Like, if 4, 5, and 6 came out today, like,
They'd be destroyed. You know, when
he was told to go meet Yoda, he was just basically told to go visit, go to a planet, right? Like, he didn't really know where on the planet, and then he ended up, like, going to the, like, it was so foggy he couldn't see where he was going, and he crash-landed on this planet, where he didn't know to go, and he just happened to crash-land, like, within walking distance of the dude he was looking for, house.
True.
Right? You know, I mean, it's shit like that, that it's like, oh yeah, no. 4, 5, and 6 were perfect.
It was.
I mean, they, and in the new movie, they answer some questions. There's some stuff that's really cool. They kind of explain Snoke. They explain in more depth about Rey's parentage. I don't know, man. Like, it wasn't perfect, but like I said, no Star Wars movie is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the people complained that it was just basically like a nostalgia thing or him trying to undo what Rian Johnson did. Like, the character Rose,
yeah.
Apparently people hate because she's either a woman or Asian or just. I haven't really heard any other better reason why. She's not in the movie that much, and everyone was like, "Take that, you Asian woman, for ruining my Star Wars." But but what I had heard was that she was cut because a lot of her scenes were with Princess Leia.
Oh, that makes sense.
And so they kind of, like, changed the movie and stuff. But and I also heard that the original cut of the movie is, like, 3 hours or a little over 3 hours long.
Oh, Jesus.
And Disney cut it down to the point where the story that I heard was that there was a meeting with J.J. Abrams and Disney executives, and he basically told them to, like, they might as well take his name off the movie and say that it's written and directed by Disney.
Good time.
So it'll be interesting if they release the J.J. Abrams cut when they release it on DVD, because that's something that they've done in the past with different, like the Batman movie, Batman versus Superman, they released the Scott Snyder cut on DVD.
Got you. That was probably a lot better.
I didn't watch the original theatrical release. I only watched the Scott Snyder cut.
Got you.
And it wasn't as bad as everyone made it out to be. Unless I was just had super low expectations and they weren't. I wasn't let down by those super low expectations.
Fair enough. It's always a good way to go into a movie.
Well, I mean, it's like one of those things like, okay, well, I want to watch this so that I know what's going on anyways. Homework for the podcast, I guess. Take one for the team. But it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it would be.
Gotcha.
So I'm kind of curious to see or hear what the J.J. Abrams extra 15, like 20 minutes or whatever that he added on to the movie that they felt was too long.
Fair enough.
But I don't know. Like the sword fight, the lightsaber fight scenes were pretty cool. There's a scene like the people call like they're like, oh, this scene the Avengers did this scene. Why are you doing it? And it's like the Avengers aren't the first one to do it. They're just the most recent big movie. They did it before Star Wars. And if Star Wars had did it first, then you would complain that Avengers is ripping them off. Like just chill.
They probably would have said Avengers did it better.
Right, exactly. So, and then they just recently announced that they're going to push back the start filming date and release date for the Obi-Wan series. And, you know, Ewan McGregor came out and he was doing an interview for his press tour for the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And he came out and said that it's not, there's no like anger, bitterness or whatever on the set. Like that's all just rumors. Like people are trying to cause shit. But he said that he read the script and they were fine, but the rumor is that Kathryn Kennedy, the one that everyone wants to get fired for like ruining Star Wars anyways, that she wasn't happy with the script.
Got you.
And so this movie getting postponed is adding, you know, more fuel to the fire her Twitter hashtag.
Got you.
That the angry nerds that are too busy tweeting angry nerd stuff to shower.
Nerd rage.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. It might be like they've also pushed around some of the Marvel stuff. So I mean the Marvel stuff moving. So that might be why they pushed it back because they moved up one of the Marvel shows earlier than they had originally planned on doing.
Got you. So maybe it's just reallocating money.
Or just reallocating, like, you don't want premieres, like, all your shows to be premiering at around the same time. You want to have one show at a time coming out.
True, exactly.
But then again, you know, we just might be the assholes for thinking logically.
That's fair. I'm okay with being an asshole.
And it wouldn't even be the first time I was called an asshole. I was in class. I was in math class when I was in seventh grade. And the way that we had our desks where there was like four of them, like in a, like a, basically a rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
And so like we had like two kids side by side and two kids across.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this girl that sat across from me and she told me, she's like, you know, you'd probably be cute if you weren't such an asshole.
I mean, I don't know about the first part, but I mean, the second part's really true.
Yes. So that was peak seventh grade girl attention for me, was having a girl, you know, of course, you know, being the geeky kid that I was like, wait, she thinks I'm cute?
Woo!
That after that.
Joker dance.
Yes. Down the stairs.
Yeah!
Oh, man. So, Sean, another fun episode in the books.
Another fun-filled time, Danny. Talking about everything from beer to anime to Joker to Star Wars. Another good one.
Yeah, at least we didn't die from it yet, so we're good. Wait, that might be too soon, actually, considering how we started the show. I'm super sensitive, aren't I?
Man.
As I was saying it, my brain was trying to shove those words back in, but it was too late. They were out.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why we play a game called Too Soon.
Hashtag Too Soon.
All right, everybody. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, all those fun places.
Untapped,
if you want to see how Danny is drowning his sorrows.
Definitely. give us like reviews on the Apple Podcast and anywhere else that you can give us reviews. 5 stars, please. Lie. We're not above a pity review or two.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. Until next time.
Later.